Good evening, everyone, and welcome to I'm Actually Comics. My name is Tristan, and I'm joined by Bob.
Bob!
And he's only a little bit drunk tonight.
I am only a little bit drunk tonight.
So
two cans of beer.
They were them Australian cans, though.
No, they were not Foster's.
Like a half gallon of beer in each one.
I had two gannies. Two ganny tall boys. And some fries.
Some nasty gansets.
Oh, man. I am riding high on endorphins, though, because some funny things happened. But that's all.
It's
not for the podcast. It has nothing to do with comics.
It has
just spiteful hate.
Everything to do with clowns.
With laughing at someone who has health problems.
Anyway. Oh, my God. Okay. So let's talk about comics, then, because there's way too many comics.
Yeah, you need to steer me away from where I'm going.
Jesus. Well, I mean, we also really need to get through these because there's a lot of shit.
Is there really?
Yes.
Huh.
Like, this is like the biggest week of forever.
Weird. I plowed through the books this week.
That's because you're fucking drunk, dude.
No, I wasn't drunk when I read the comics.
Oh, okay. Anyway, this is an Amazing Spider-Man. It's a facsimile edition of a comic that did not need to be there.
It's the first appearance of Jack-O-Lantern?
Is it? Oh, I thought it was Slide.
But it's not Slide. It's not. That's drawn by Kyle Baker.
Okay.
Oh, that's true. Inked by Kyle Baker or something.
That was like 1998.
I flipped through this. They are continuing their better paper.
Yep.
For their reprints, so good job. One of their reprints from this week has it, and it's this Spider-Man comic.
Well, it's no ape.
It's drawn by Rick Leonardi.
No Ape Rill.
Ape Rill.
The Ape Rill special is out this week, and yes, that's DC returning to putting monkeys in stuff.
Yeah, I love the cover blurb that says, what does it say? It says, in this issue, apes. It's like my favorite cover blurb of the week, for sure.
I mean, there's definitely a couple of good things. The fact that there was a banana-scented cover, and
that's the one I bought.
And there's also an homage to Crisis on Infinite Earths.
That one is really good.
Holding the prone body of a dead Supergirl, the Monkey Prince is instead holding a giant banana peel.
It's fantastic. I actually took a photo of it. I think I might post it on
Instagram. He's very sad about that banana peel.
There's actually a really good, in the middle of this, like the first, we were discussing kind of like, the puns felt a little rushed in the first story, but the second story is just a straightforward detective chimp with art by Phil Hester, and
that's awesome.
And it's awesome. And then there's a Monkey Prince story that is, so if you're a fan of the Monkey Prince series that got canceled, it's the same creative team.
Yeah, and so, yes, cool. And if you miss Dragon Ball Z, you're basically talking about the Monkey Prince story. So
yeah,
so there you go.
There you go.
Astonishing X-Men Modern Era Epic Collection Gifted Trade Paperback.
This is the Joss Whedon.
This is the now canceled Joss Whedon, his book.
They didn't cancel his new comic, his new edition of his comic.
Nope,
though.
They didn't, because this comic rules.
Yeah, it's good.
Really good.
It's the one where they brought Colossus back after his death.
Yes, and then got rid of Kate into space.
Oh, yeah, but she came back too. She didn't die, though.
But that was really tense for a while there. I mean, I remember when that was coming out that was like a really sad issue where
she had to phase that giant planet-sized bullet.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was cool. That was back when Joss Whedon was, or when John Cassaday was
yes.
top form.
Oh, so good. Yeah. Batman 89 Echoes number 2.
Echoes.
I love this cover.
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful.
It's cool.
It's weird because I'm usually not into this style of art, but I love the cover.
Joe Quinones.
Yeah, I'm not really reading the book, but I like the cover.
Yeah.
Batman Superman, the world's finest, number 25.
It's a buy on site for me because I collect the book, so I haven't read it yet, but I'm sure it's fine. It's two stories. I know one is drawn by Dan Mora and one is drawn by Steve Pugh, and both of those artists are good, and Mark Waid wrote it, so I'm sure it's fine.
And of course, there is a William Shatner variant for
For
obvious reasons.
Yeah. I mean,
I can't think of them, but I'm sure that they're obvious to someone. Beneath the Trees, Where Nobody Sees, number 4, is out.
And continues to actually be good. Yeah. They got like the heavy gore in the first issue, and so it kind of like, I don't know, I like it. I think the art's really good in this.
We have yet to find out if our fan theory is correct.
I know, right? But, they're really dragging it
out. But I want to find out.
Well, it's probably a 6 issue, so yeah. Probably got a couple more to go.
We've got a little while longer. If it's anything like a lot of these, like IDW, Boom, Dark Horse, it's like, it's a 4-issue miniseries unless it does well. And then, oh shit, it's a 10-issue miniseries is what I meant to
say. Take that double-sized final issue and spread it into three issues.
Yeah, exactly. We've got Beware the Planet of Those Apes, number 3.
I did not read this.
I didn't either, even though I am enjoying the series. Nice. Black Panther, number 10.
Also didn't read this one.
Blade, number 9. I love this book.
Yeah, I did flip through this one. It looks fine.
This is funny because I think people are actually excited about this big crossover event for the summer.
I'm excited to find out how long surprised. It will take them to kill Tigra.
I mean, I'm very interested. I mean,
no, I think it looks good.
I think that I actually have a counter for this. I think they may not kill Tigra.
Yeah.
The reason I think so is because I think that because they put her in a relationship with Moon Knight, I think that becomes a problem, right?
Maybe.
Like, I think then
I think
then
Moon
it just
Knight's
becomes...
return is going to be a key aspect of, like, the actual, like,
yes.
when he comes back from...
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see. Like, it's silly to start projecting
right,
about.
Sure.
But I think Blood Hunt looks good, mainly because I like Jed McKay.
Yes.
Jed McKay has a track record of writing good comics. He even made me almost give a shit about Moon Knight, which is pretty good in itself. And he's read the comics, which is...
yep.
A key thing for me, like, why it's obvious when somebody who's writing comics hasn't read the comics, and Jed McKay definitely has. And also it's drawn by Pepe Larraz, who is
yes.
very good. So
love
I think
Pepe
it
Larraz.
Looks cool, and I'm going to collect the ones that have the extra gore
extra
in them.
Extra gore.
Because I want the full scoop.
I was excited.
Scoop up those guts.
I am disappointed that the 1 in 25 cover variant is a 1 in 25. I wanted more of those. But... In a like a wonderful Marvel, like really sticking it to retailers for this one. So they're numbered variants. There's the regular version of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And so you order 25 of those, you can get your 1 in 25 of that.
Okay.
But then there's the red band. And in order to get the 1 in 25 of that, you need to order 25 red bands.
Okay.
So you can't combine the two obviously the same book.
Well, you could just order the red bands.
You could. But... I'm not going to do that.
Why not?
I probably should.
Those are the ones people are going to want.
It's going to be. It's the only.
I guarantee
one
you, there's the one people are going to want.
Yeah, yeah.
Guaranteed. I mean, the only thing that I'm bummed out about the red band is that they come polybagged. I hate polybag comics.
I do too.
You should make polybag comics come with tape, so you can open them up and read them, and then put them back in.
You know, they should be Mylar bagged.
Yeah, just
so
sealed.
That they're like put them in something that you can reseal.
Yeah.
As opposed to something that is just trash that goes directly
or
into the
even
ocean.
If it is like, yeah, even if it is like polybagged and sealed, like it has like a tearaway, but like you can reseal it or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I agree.
My plan with Blood Hunt is red band all the way.
And the other thing I've seen that I wish they would do, I know it was probably very expensive for them to do it. Who was it? Shit.
It was
something
Robin 3 Cry for the Huntress one where you pull the tab down and the glue makes them all wrinkly?
No, there was the Something is Killing the Children. That series did bagged in envelopes that were like fancy envelopes with like gilt lettering on them. It was really pretty.
Wow.
It must have been pretty expensive though.
Yeah, Marvel ain't gonna do that.
Marvel's not gonna do that shit. But what I was saying about Blade is that it's interesting because the series was not selling very well and it disappointed me. And I have had this week I've had at least 3 different orders from across the country pulling every issue of Blade.
Yeah, because that's the lead in.
That's the lead
I mean,
in
I would
this.
Think you probably would see similar with Moon Knight because that's the other obvious lead in.
That is the other one that I'm seeing a lot of reorders for.
Yep.
Tenement, Bone Orchard, 10 of 10. It's the end of this wonderful series that I haven't read any of, and everybody tells me it's the best one.
Cool.
I have so many people who love this book.
Nice. That's good.
Captain Marvel, number 6. I don't have any people telling me that's a good book.
It looks fine. Honestly,
I'm sure it is.
I read
it.
It
nobody's
was
reading
like,
it.
I think she, like, I don't know. There's a lot of...
I liked the first 2 issues of this. It's just, I think people are just not really looking for a Captain Marvel book right now.
I think that when Bendis introduced the decompressed storyline thing, one thing that happened that... And I won't waste a ton of time talking about this, but like in an old Chris Claremont X-Men comic, you'd read your 22-page comic, and there might be like 2 or 3 pages where someone's having a conversation.
Yes.
In the modern decompressed era, that conversation often takes an entire issue.
Yes.
And I think expecting someone to pay $5 for a comic where Spider-Woman and, you know, Spider-Boy have a conversation is kind of like, it's not going to fly. And that's what this Captain Marvel felt like. It was like a little bit talky talk, and but the art's good and I'm sure it's fine. I just am not a huge fan of the character.
It's so funny to have that at the same time that you've got X-Men going on, because I've been rereading the Krakoa era. I'm finally like going through every issue of the Krakoa stuff.
Wow. Okay.
To actually
an omnibus of some kind.
I'm just reading everything that I have. Wow. And so I'm not quite caught up. I'm caught up to like the first big revelation, the treehouse era. Is okay. Like right where I'm at.
Sorry about my yawning.
And first off, love it. Like, I'm now absolutely fucking in love with it. And all the problems I had with it about worrying it was like the Inhumans and all that stuff, totally gone. Love it. But more than that, it is the exact opposite. It is the most fucking compressed storytelling I've ever seen in my life. And I see exactly what my problems were with it for skimming it for the podcast. Mm. It's that it's like, if you miss four panels, you may have missed an entire storyline. There's so much shit crammed into those books that it is batshit. Mm. Like,
it's funny how there seems to be a real reaction against the announced new X-Men books that came out this week.
It's
where
so funny.
A lot of the people like yourself that enjoyed the Krakoa era are like, and I actually had a conversation with one of your regulars earlier. Who didn't buy this week's X-Men comic because Nimrod wasn't in it. And I was like, that's an interesting take. He was like, well, I looked at it to see if Nimrod was in it. He wasn't in it, so I'm not getting it. And I was like, all right.
What?
Yeah. So that's a real conversation I had with a real customer.
I just finished the issue where Bobby cracks Nimrod's skull in half. And
Bobby Iceman?
Yes. Like, it's the first time that you see anybody get one over on Nimrod, and then he instantly dies because he has this thing that he stabs him with. He has this little genetic thing to poke him with, but then he reconstitutes because they still have the fucking eggs at that point. But but like, damn.
Yeah. So also, Iceman literally can regenerate his entire body from a single drop of water. So it's kind of dumb to have him be killed.
Well, but in this, the reason being that it literally is like an infection that he puts into him that like genetically dissolves him, essentially. It's one of those things. But yes.
Well, but back to my point is like they came up with here's what the new X-Men comics are going to be. And it very much on the surface appears to be kind of like a back to basics. Like
I expected
X-Men
an X-Men
kind of
92
thing.
Reboot.
Right. Yeah. And it's been interesting to me to have people react like very strongly against it. Like a lot of people who are reading Krakoa are like, well, at least I'll save a bunch of money. And it'll be interesting to see. I think that more people will come back.
Oh, I think so.
I think it's more of a sales. Yeah, exactly.
Because it is basically what the Krakoa era is like, you cannot half-ass that. You can't be a casual fan of X-Men and read the Krakoa era.
Right.
You will be so fucking lost from moment to moment. Like even like I was paying I thought more attention than to most, but I still, due to the job, I can only read so much.
Right.
But man, I missed so much stuff going through it. And I'm like, oh, that's why that's like this. Like so many of these characters that I barely even knew what their power sets were. And they were like really important characters. Mm. Like, who the fuck is Exodus? Not a character that I ever really knew.
Hmm.
Like, was never in anything that
he's
I was.
He's from
reading.
Your era.
Is he?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't really remember him.
Exodus
in my
was the guy who led the Acolytes, and that's who Colossus left the X-Men to join.
Right, for the Asteroid M thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the one that was giving Magneto.
I think there just was like zero characterization back then, so you just like it didn't stick with you, maybe.
So he was. Wait, so Exodus was the guy that was like powering Magneto up? Is that the one that he was like pulling his power from? That
I was
would make
a,
sense.
I was
yeah,
a
yeah.
casual X-Men
yeah, yeah.
reader at that
oh, that's weird.
Stage in its history. The only I realized that when I was talking about this with my friend Cole over in the panel to panel group, which I will shout out because it's a great group
yes.
on Facebook. But I read Claremont until Claremont was done, and then I stopped, and then I came back when Morrison started writing it, and then I left when Morrison left. And that's, other than that, I've been entirely casual. So all the 90s stuff, all the Second Coming, all the like kind of things that were bigger, and it's just interesting that now there's just so much history, but it's all within a time frame where like there's still a lot of people who are alive. That, you know, it's not like golden age stuff where people are all dead who were into that stuff. It's like there's that 60-year continuity of X-Men is like there's still people who read X-Men when it was new that are alive. And then there's still people that like read it in the 80s and people that read it when, you know, 10 years ago. Or
I mean, that, so that it's is like that is the problem that X-Men has is the fact that they have
a problem that any of long term. Well, series like that has.
Maybe it doesn't feel like a Superman or a Batman where they're like when Batman stopped being X I didn't like it anymore, and it's like I feel like those characters kind of hold on, whereas the X-Men there are these really concentrated types of stories from like 5-year periods where it's like I really like the Hope Summers era. You know, and those stories were totally different. And it's like, no, I was a real Age of Apocalypse fan. And like the people who were into that were like, yeah, as soon as Age of Apocalypse was done, I was kind of done.
Yeah.
You know, like you hear like, or I do because I run a comic shop. I hear about people and they're like their concentrations on the X-Men usually revolves around one very specific era. And they're really stoked about those books. And then the rest of it, they're like, eh, whatever. Down to the point where it's like, yeah, as soon as Jubilee stopped being a vampire.
Wow.
Yeah, seriously. So,
interesting.
Anything's possible.
And we shouldn't get too sidetracked on this, but maybe when we do
still 100 more comics.
And we will do, like, we talked about maybe sometime doing, like, a deep dive where we, like, read a graphic novel or something, and maybe we'll have an opportunity to expand more on. I have lots of things to say about X-Men.
It's, at some point.
And many other comics.
At some point, we should get one of our experts in specifically for the Krakoa era. Because I would like that just for my own personal.
I would accept the challenge of reading as long as you didn't make me buy it.
I wouldn't make you read it. I was just thinking like bringing someone in who could explain it to us, even, you know, like,
all right.
Cause like Kyle, like there's a bunch of people who,
but
know.
I would like to, if we did that, I would like to read it. Yeah. I would like to be able to hang for the conversation.
Sure.
So anyway.
All right. Well, what is next is Carnage Epic Collection, The Monster Inside.
Ooh.
And Catwoman number 63
continues to be
a comic book. And we got Cobra Commander number 3.
Cobra Kai Commander.
There's a really great crazy alligator cover. I like it.
Nice.
Conan the Barbarian number 8 is out.
Cool.
We've got Dawn Runner number 1 from Dark Horse Comics.
I liked it.
It looks
does
cool.
not, on the surface, appear to be a Pacific Rim-style kaiju story, but it is very much that.
Nice.
It's got some things in common with my current favorite book, Petrolhead.
Weird.
Yeah, it's like a future world where there's been an incursion from kaiju-sized aliens, and the humanity is losing the war. But then they kind of figured out that they could create these giant robots to fight them, and so they do. But then there's like kind of this like competitive nature of the battling, and it's kind of like Power Rangers, like probably Pacific Rim, like that kind of a deal, Well, Pacific Rim is more like militaristic, where this is more like gladiatorial kind of deal.
Okay. Interesting.
But there's this one main character who is, and it's written by Rom V, who's very good, and the art is actually very, very good. Very good in it, actually. I can't remember the artist, but it was cool, and it was a good introductory.
Evan Cagle. C-A-G-L-E.
Well, it's good, the art.
I don't want to say Cagle, but I have no choice.
The art and coloring is good, and it was a good introductory first issue in that it really spells out for you exactly what's happening. It's like kind of like there'll be like a caption that's like da, 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 and then like some panels of story and then like da, 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 da. Like it moves the, because there is like world building that you need. And I think that there's a, I've talked about this before, like you need to present that information in a way that's compelling, but also easier to process, especially in a first issue. And I think they nailed it. I picked up Dawn Runner. It was awesome. It was an easy sell for me. I liked it.
We have Deer Editor, number 3.
Oh, yeah.
He's an editor, but and you know what else? He's a deer.
You didn't have this one on the shelf, so I didn't read it.
Displaced, number 2.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Yeah, it's great, good. Bro. The first issue was had me. The second issue locked me. It's a
solidified
Displaced is very good.
I loved the first issue, but I was not sold on the idea that it could continue in the way that it was going.
Yeah.
And, yep, perfect.
Yeah, no, they nailed it. It's really good.
Doctor Strange by Jed McKay, Volume 2.
Nice.
The Warhound of Vishanti.
Oh, man, this is the one where he fights the War Doctor.
Yes.
General.
I love that.
Yeah, no, it's the Jed McKay, Doctor Strange is good, where I like Jed McKay. Yeah. I don't like Moon Knight, so when he was writing Moon Knight for so long, I was just kind of like, it was hard for me.
Yeah.
But then he took over Doctor Strange, and I was like, "Oh man, I love this. He's great. He should. Yeah, he's gonna be like running shit at Marvel pretty soon."
Oh, I agree.
I mean, obviously, Bloodhunt.
Yep. Dutch number 2.
I like Dutch.
Of 3.
Dutch is fun. Dutch is like what if Cable continued, if the Joe Casey Cable run continued, but has different art. It's not LeDron. It's Simon Gain.
And Elvira meets H.P. Lovecraft number 2.
I'm sure it's great. I didn't read it.
Yep. Fantastic Four was in my stack, and I did not manage to get to it.
Yeah, I did not get to it either. This is another one that I know is good, but I probably won't like the art.
I never don't like Fantastic Four in this run. It has been very, very solid.
That said, no, wait, I take it back. I did read it. It's actually really good.
Mm-hmm. And you like the art for the last issue. So.
Yeah, no, I like the art for this issue just fine, but it's a Franklin Richards-centric story.
Oh, interesting.
And
I like that.
One of the things that I had an issue with the Dan Slott run was kind of how he handled Franklin. And they kind of square that with the long-term characterization of Franklin in this, that's in a way that's really good.
Cool. Yeah. Dan Slott's run was only good because it had been so bad for so long that it was the best that Fantastic Four had been in 4 years. So it was like, well, it's not great, but it's also not as terrible as it was a while ago. So I love it.
Right.
Fantastic Four, Atlantis Rising. You know those comics you find in the quarter bins.
Oh, man. They did a trade of Atlantis Rising? Yes. Oh, man. That's tempting. I'm sure it's way too expensive. I'd rather
like
buy them in the quarter bin.
$45 for those epic collections.
Yeah, that's actually pretty fun. That one and Star Blast are the ones that I'm like kind of picking up from the dollar bins here and there when I see them.
Yeah, those are easy dollar bin books. I wouldn't, unless you want it on your shelf to complete your Fantastic Four collection, I would say that this is an easy one to skip if you're just somebody who picks through quarter bins.
Right.
Because I know that we throw all of those into the dollar or quarter bin. Gargoyles number 12 is out.
Cool.
G.I. Joe, a real American hero.
I feel like it hasn't been that long since the last one came out.
They are just pumping these things
out. It's interesting because it's Mooneyham and he must be really
bi-weekly?
Fast. I don't know.
It feels like I'm getting two of these a month.
I feel like it has not been that long since the last issue came out.
I mean, so 301 was the first one. And that it feels like it was 2 months ago. So
I think it was longer than 2 months ago. But I'm just this month. It feels like we got two issues by the regular creative team, which is always kind of a treat.
Yeah,
if you're following it,
Green Lantern War Journal.
It looks better than it has looked, but it still is not interesting me.
Not to me either. Harley Quinn Volume 5. Who killed Harley Quinn? In hardcover.
Nice.
Helsing Volume 5 is out. We've got Holy Roller number 5. And If You Find This, I'm Already Dead number 2.
Oh, yeah. This one's great. I love this book. I finally got around to reading the first issue, and I was like, holy shit, this is good. And this second one is even better. Very cool.
Cool. Infernals number 2 is out. And we have a trade paperback for Initial D Omnibus 1 and 2 collected.
Looks cool.
Awesome. If you... You know, this is my era of manga, so like it's old-timey 80s stuff, but it's really, really fun.
I like that stuff.
Sean Murphy will be very excited about this because it's mostly about a Datsun, so.
Nice.
Invincible Iron Man, number 16.
It's funny. This is all splash pages.
Oh,
this,
really?
This comic. Mm-hmm. And it's, I remember when that Walt Simonson Thor one came out where he fights the Midgard Serpent.
Yep.
And thinking that was so awesome. Mm-hmm. And this one, like, it has decent art, it just didn't do anything for me. And it's, you know, I'm sure if you are following Invincible Iron Man, this is like that issue for you. You're like, oh shit, it's all big pages. And that's
fair.
Cool, but like, yeah.
I got to say, I have dipped in and out of Invincible Iron Man, and every time I've gone in, I think I've enjoyed it more than I expected to. So there's at least that.
Nice.
John Constantine, Hellblazer, Dead in America, number 3.
This book looks great. This is a classic. Great.
I missed number one because I was out that week.
Oh.
And so I was like, when I came in, I hadn't read it, and now I have not caught up, so I'm not reading.
Yeah, we'll wait for the trade.
I am waiting for that trade. Justice Society of America, number 9.
I want to hate this book, but I don't. I really want to hate it. I really want to just be like, I don't, this is stupid. Like, yeah. Huntress, who cares? I don't know, whatever. It's good. I love the sidekicks. Like, yeah. I love that whole deal. I think, like, if Geoff Johns never does anything for DC again, at least he did that. Like, yeah. I love these, like, lost World War II sidekicks, and they factor into this. And, yeah, it's good. I mean, terminally late, kind of pointless to follow, but enjoyable. Yeah, yeah.
Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong.
It's a good kaiju moment in this. Did you read it?
There's a lot of great moments in this. And then there's a thing that's happening in the next issue that I'm just like, I've already had it spoiled for me, so I'm not spoiling it for anybody else. But my God, there's a great fucking moment.
Nice.
So I'm very excited.
Yeah. I didn't have the bandwidth for this when it was first coming out, so I didn't get on board. Kind of wish I had, because it's pretty fun.
I find this to be about as delightful as anything can be in the world of comics. I love it when a really big, stupid pitch turns out to be a really good comic book.
Yeah, totally.
And it's also one of those, like, it didn't need to be this good. You didn't need to put this much into it. People were going to buy this for the dumb covers.
Right.
And that you could have just coasted on it, and they did not, which I very much appreciate them for.
Nah, it's fun.
Kill Your Darlings, number 7.
Didn't read it.
Kill
read it.
No Lilo idea. And Stitch, number 2.
Oh, why would
no,
you do that?
Don't do that. We also have Batman Limited Collector's Edition presents the Batman Facsimile Edition Oversized Foil. You know, it's that thing. It's the Ra's al Ghul thing.
A thing of glory.
It is. I appreciate that I managed to pronounce it incorrectly while pronouncing two different versions of his name.
The only thing that could be better than this is if you happen to find a mint condition copy of the original and it costs less than the cover price of this. Other than that, nothing
that will
beats
not
this.
Happen.
No, it will not happen. This was actually when I used to buy DC Digest comics. I told you this earlier. I bought this storyline in digest size, so it's just so cool to see it. Although I actually think I own the original of this as well. I might not, but I think I do. Anyway, it's cool. It's a tabloid size facsimile edition, and it's wonderful.
Yep. Little Black Book, number 1.
I didn't realize this was the first issue, and I didn't read it.
I didn't read it either. Shit. Oh.
I'm sorry.
Oops. I'm sorry, too. Sorry, everybody. Let's say it's probably okay.
Yeah.
I can't remember even who's on it. It was somebody
it's
who...
got a guy in a cowboy hat and a guy holding a book
God damn
on
it.
The cover.
Who's the writer on this?
Here, I'll go grab it really quick. About. I'll be right back.
Yeah. There was a reason why I ordered this. Oh, well. Anyway, though I have to wait because we're going to get into another one that we're going to talk about.
McComsey?
Well, maybe it isn't. Maybe I'm totally high on drugs.
Maybe I can't read. Hold on. It is by McComsey, Cunha, and Lesko, chapter 1 of 4.
Maybe I just got it because it had a Francavilla cover. Who knows?
It has a Francavilla cover. It's... You know, I'm sure it's good.
Okay, perfect. So
it has virtually no dialogue in it.
We know what we're going to be talking about, and it is going to be Man's Best, number one by
pick
Jesse
of the
Lonergan.
Week, yep. Pick of the week, pick of the week,
this
pick
is,
of the
this
week.
This is a pretty easy pick of the week.
Oh, it's so good.
I don't know why I feel the need to be negative about this.
What?
There was a moment where I was like, I kind of wish that there was more story to this, but it is beautiful. And
oh, there's a huge amount of story to it. What are you talking about?
I felt like the story was too linear for me.
Oh, interesting. Because you expected it to be like We3.
I was like, oh, I wonder where it's going. And then it was like, oh, it's going exactly where I thought it was.
It doesn't go where I thought it was going to
really?
Go. Like, okay. I read the preview, and even like when it continued from where the preview ended, it went in a different direction than I expected it to go completely.
Excellent.
I love it. This is an easy pick of the week. A good writer, Pichichote, to take designs that one of the best artists working in comics currently, Jesse Lonergan, absolute just jaw-droppingly good artist, and then Pichichote goes and is like, I'm going to write a story to make these, like, to make sense of these weird designs that you've made. Like, I mean, if you follow Lonergan, you've seen some of these designs over the years, like this armored animals kind of thing. And he just like made a story out of it. That's like, I would say part alien, part lost in space, part We3, and like
definitely part Milo and Otis.
Milo and Otis. Sure. Yeah.
Actually, no. Homeward Bound. Sorry.
Homeward Bound. Yeah.
It's much more Homeward Bound.
I mean, any of those. Like, it's a hodgepodge of influences.
Yeah.
But it's very good and compelling, and all of the characters, including all of the animals, obviously, have distinct personalities. Yeah. So it's got like a Beast of Burden kind of vibe to it as well.
It definitely has a Beast of Burden vibe. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like the main characters are the animals, and they talk, even though like the human characters don't understand what they say or anything like that.
And I will say that was the other part that surprised me. I was surprised that they weren't. I expected that they were going to do a We3. I expected that the whole point of their bio armor was to
have them be able to communicate,
be able to talk to they refer to them as like emotional support animals at one point.
Well, it starts as like kind of like, it's even got like part Star Trek, you know, like there's like a sort of like a holodeck kind of deal. Yep. And I just,
where they're training
it.
The dogs in the holodeck.
Yeah. I love it. I think it's wonderful.
It's wonderful.
And I agree. Talking into the wrong part of my microphone somehow.
Yes.
Sorry, I know you really want to hear everything that comes out in digital clarity.
We have a whole bunch of Michael Moorcock books in. There's a bunch of that.
Michael Moorcock books?
Moorcock books.
Good old Michael Moorcock.
Yes. that is his name. One of the most famous British sci-fi writers, Michael Moorcock. And he is, we got a bunch of it.
Elrics.
We got some Elrics. We got some Quorums. We got all.
So
sorts
are these
of
comic
shit.
Books? Or are they they're, books?
They're hardcover comic books. They're hardcover graphic novels.
So the reprints of
probably
older ones?
I would assume that they're a British series that is reprinted by Titan for the U.S.
So it's not like the Mignola ones or
I don't think
Who did the Elric? P. Craig Russell.
I think some of the P. Craig Russells are in this. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool. Sorry, I made a porno joke about Michael
Moorcock. More problems. as I've always said, Midlife or How to Hero at 50, number 6 is out.
Yep.
For some reason, Miss Marvel, The New Mutant, Volume 1 trade paperback is out already. I didn't think
already.
There were enough issues of that. Okay, this is a surprise. I'm not gonna lie. Nacelleverse Zero.
Okay. I see why you skipped that one. It was interesting.
This was interesting.
It was fine. Yeah.
I was really weirded out by the one thing that I thought was going to be the worst about it, where I was like, what are you going to do with the Great Garlou? This is the dumbest thing ever. I loved the Great Garlou in this.
The only things in this book that I had heard of before, I mean, actually, no, that's not true. So I had heard of Sektars, mm-hmm. and I had heard of Power Lords.
Yep. because they were on the back cover of every comic book for a while.
Right. Also, Marvel had a Sektars and series, and DC had a Power Lord series.
Correct.
And I remember being like actually horrified by the actual Power Lord action figures.
They literally really look bizarre. Like they transform into them with no skin.
It's a weird design. However, I did not realize that biker mice from Mars was somehow connected to the same.
None of this is connected.
But I mean, all it connected because it's part of the nacelle.
Now it is. So basically,
which I thought was like the thing that made the Star Trek ships fly. Nacelles.
Probably. I think you're thinking of dilithium crystals.
No, I'm thinking of those. If you look at the Starship Enterprise and it has two things on either side, and they are called nacelles.
Oh, interesting. That might be why they took the name. So these guys, okay, here's the story with Nacelle. They are a company that, if you've seen a Netflix comedy special, it was probably produced by Nacelle. They made millions and millions and millions of dollars producing comedy specials for Amazon, for like their names are all over everything.
Okay.
The guy that runs it is obsessed with toys. He has contacted us about doing like a documentary in the store. We passed on it because I thought it was kind of weird and I just didn't want to deal with it. But there's a lot of stuff. Like he does this thing for toy stores across the country. He's very excited about toys and he found a bunch of licenses and he just went, these licenses exist. I'm going to buy them. I'm a millionaire. I can do that kind of shit. And so he bought the Great Garlou, Power Lords, Sektars from, he bought Sektars from our friend Tim, and Tim Clark, who does Boglins. And like all of these other things, Biker Mice from Mars. What are the other ones? RoboForce. And then just basically said, okay, we have all these things. Let's make a universe where they all fit together. And so just in a way, you would almost say ham-fistedly, kind of jammed it all together. But I've got to tell you, I really enjoyed reading this book. It felt like a really well-done Saturday morning cartoon. It's just basically the Great Garlou is...
The Great Garlou?
The Great Garlou was a toy from the 60s that had no... He had nothing to do with anything. He was just a beautiful design. The packaging was really brilliant. And because of how cool his design was, people became kind of like, it gained kind of a cult following because he was like wearing these weird Tarzan pants. He had a big medallion that said the Great Garlou on it. And he was like a Shogun Warrior sized big monster toy that people got really stoked about at the time. And they have managed to, and there was also a Garlou Jr. And so like there was this big one and then there was a little one. And so now what they've done is they've made the idea that he's this little kid, but he can grow gigantic and sort of turn into a giant man Hulk kind of creature when he wants to, or when he's angry or whatever. And he's the guiding force that like introduces each of these universes because his world was wiped out. He's brought out by slavers and then they just go to all these different places and it's fun. I'm not going to lie. Like for something that is as crassly jammed together as this is, I had a blast with it. So, I would recommend it. If you think that you might like something like this, I say absolutely check it out.
And there's toys of it.
Of course. And that's the other thing is that was their whole point was they wanted to start making toys. They started with the RoboForce toys. Then they did the Biker Mice from Mars. They're going to do the Power Lords. They've already done Sektars. The Sektars toys look great. I think I'm actually going to start carrying those.
There's pictures of all the toys in the back, and they all look cool.
Yeah, they're doing a great job.
Honestly, the Great Garlou is the one that looks the coolest.
Oh, I haven't
seen... He's got a motorcycle.
I haven't seen the Great Garlou yet.
It's right here in the back.
Oh, that's really weird. Awesome. I didn't check that out. Check it out. They seem like nice people.
And there's the ad for the next year of Nacelleverse, and it's RoboForce, and then Biker Mice from Mars, and then Sektars, and then Power Lords, but Garlou does not have his own comic.
What? Garlou is like the best part of this, and they left him out. I mean, maybe he just basically shows up in all of them. I like it. Check it out.
Yeah, it looks fun.
You know what else is out? Night Thrasher. That's okay.
I didn't read it on purpose.
Yeah, that's fair.
I hated the first issue.
I liked the first issue, but I...
Oh, I did not like
it. But I have no reason to read the next one. Until he gets a skateboard, he can...
He ain't going to get a skateboard, baby.
If he's not getting a skateboard, then...
You're done with the skateboard. This ain't your mama's Night Thrasher, man.
My mom loved Night Thrasher so much.
She liked him with the skateboard, though.
I'm so glad she didn't live to see the time when Night
Thrasher
lost
his
skateboard.
The modern Night Thrasher.
It would have disappointed her so much.
Night Thrasher.
Nightwing 112 is out.
I like it a lot.
Yeah. Once Upon a Time at the End of the World.
I didn't read this one either.
Me either. Whoa, Pop's Chocolate Shop of Horrors is sold out?
Huh.
What?
It was interesting.
Weird.
I'm not sure that I saw anything in it that was like, I must own this.
That's weird. That seems...
Maybe there's a first appearance or something.
I'm guessing that there were damages. That's the only thing I can imagine is that, like, we had a bunch of damages. That's the only way that would sell out. That quickly. It'll sell out eventually.
I mean, you didn't have that many copies of it.
Yeah, yeah. One Punch Man, graphic novel, 27.
Cool.
Power Girl Returns, trade paperback.
It's good. Power Girl is one of my favorite DC books right now.
The Resurrection of Magneto, number 3.
Guess what? He gets resurrected.
Spoilers,
I'm sorry.
Damn it. Why would you do that?
I mean, why would you call it Resurrection of Magneto if you didn't want people to know?
Because you just wanted to find a way to get Magneto and Erection in the same title so that you're just thinking about that silver fox.
Yeah, baby.
I just put in the Magneto. I was like, I've been listing 90s books like on the website, and it's like the late 90s stuff that I love so much. And that era where they just wouldn't stop making X-Men miniseries. I'm finding so many X-Men miniseries that I'd never seen before.
There's some good ones.
The Magneto one when it's...
Yeah,
when
Kelly
it's the,
Jones drew it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually, the only reason I know that is you put one in your dollar bin and I was like, huh, I almost want to buy this, but
that
it's on glossy
really
paper
good.
And I have a hard line about buying glossy paper and $1 books.
And there's another one as well. There's one after that that's like a 98, I think, series. And that one is that like...
Didn't Joseph have his own miniseries as well?
It says Magneto, but it's the Joseph Magneto miniseries. And that's why I was like, oh, I'm so into this. Long-haired Magneto, you're the best.
Yep. The one that actually, the one that I will break my rule for is the Mike Wieringo Rogue miniseries.
That one's pretty good. You know, I would say that Magneto is at the heart of every disappointing ruination of a character that I start to love. And then they're like, just kidding, it's Magneto.
Zorn.
It's like, I'm like, man, I love Zorn. This is a cool character. Just kidding, it's Magneto. Oh, man, you know.
Then they brought him back.
I really love Joseph. Just kidding, he's Magneto.
I mean, did you never not think that Joseph was Magneto? Actually, wasn't the reveal of Joseph that he wasn't Magneto? I thought it was like that they said he was. You thought he was Magneto, but then he wasn't.
Well, in typical fucking X-Men fashion, I don't even know where it landed, but originally it was like, aha, he's not, and Magneto's here, and then Magneto died, and it was like, haha, just kidding, I was Magneto the whole time, and the other guy was the clone, or some shit like that.
Huh.
I can't remember.
I mean,
but
maybe that's
was...
just how they made him young again, because he was alive during World War II.
Fair enough. Anyway, Sailor Moon Volume 7 is out. Savage Red Sonja is out. We have Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, number 2.
Looks fun.
It's a book that people seem to like.
Yeah, looks
fun. I'm surprised. Let's see. Shudder Magazine, number 16. So good.
Good stuff.
Got some big old butt on the cover from... very Frazetta butt on the cover there.
Yeah, that's definitely a Frazetta butt.
Frazetta butt. Something Epic, number 8.
Frazetta ass.
Frazetta's. There you go. Spawn 351 with Overt Kill on it. I don't know.
Overt Kill is the dumbest name. I love it so much. I got this guy. He's called Overkill. You can't have a guy called Overkill. There's a Marvel guy called Overkill. Oh, shit. Well, he's called Overt Kill now.
Overt Kill is so much better, though.
That's my Todd McFarlane voice. It's actually not that bad. It's not the worst Todd McFarlane impression you've ever heard.
It's not. It's very off. It's off brand.
Listen, he's called Overt Kill. You know, that's how it is.
It would be more like this.
He kills.
It would sound a little.
He kills overtly.
No, it's not one of those secret killers.
No, there's nothing subtle about this killer. He's overt.
Oh, you know who's subtle? That would be Spider Boy number 5.
Oh yeah, Spider Boy still racking in the bucks with his hit series Spider Boy. Still your best seller.
Still every.
Oh man, Marvel definitely not tripling down on Spider Boy for reasons that are definitely not obvious.
I mean, oh okay. I was gonna say.
I was being sarcastic.
Okay, because. Definitely the fact that he's a weird little blood-sucking monster and the fact they have a big blood-sucking monster thing coming up, I think is
Oh, I didn't even make that connection. I just assumed that they were going to like do a Franklin Richards and age him to teen years, and then Dr. Octopus was going to go inside him and he was going to be the new superior Spider-Man.
That is true. That is
what's my assumption. I mean, he's definitely going to become a villain at some point.
Like, yep.
You know, Ben Reilly's a villain now. They're not going to make Spider-Boy be good.
Whatever happened to Kane?
Kane is still around. Oh, we haven't gotten to Web of Spider-Man yet.
I haven't read it. Okay.
Let's wait.
Spider-Woman, number 5.
Starring Spider-Boy.
I was wondering why there were so many Spider-Boy variants, and then I was like, oh, wait, no, those are Spider-Woman comics. Anyway, Spy X Spy Family. Spy X Family, volume 11, sorry.
I didn't see that.
I wanted to say Spy versus Spy. Yeah. Star Trek 18. Star Wars Legends Epic Collection, The Empire, Volume 1. Star Wars Jango Fett.
Oh, yeah. Is this the one that like actually has a new Jango Fett story in it? Not just an adaptation of The Mandalorian or whatever? Yeah, yeah. Or no, Jango Fett is not The Mandalorian.
He's the Jango Fett is the guy played by the guy who now plays Boba Fett.
Right.
Yes. Star Wars The High Republic, number 5, Phase 3, Act 6, Mark 1. The Return of Bruno. Star Wars Thrawn Alliances number 3 is out. Star Wars Visions. Takashi Ozaki. That's pretty awesome. This is such a beautiful book. Oh my god. So pretty. I highly recommend this one, even to people who don't like the Star Wars. This is just
cool.
Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. Stranger Things, The Voyage, number 4.
Yep.
We've got Superboy, The Man of Tomorrow, trade paperback. Superman, The Man of Today, number 12. And we've got Taka, trade paperback.
Huh.
I don't know what that is, but that art makes me want to read it.
Cool.
That is very cool. Taka. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles versus Street Fighter, trade paperback, is out. We've got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Untold Destiny of the Foot Clan, number 1.
Out. Oh, cool.
Titans, number 9, is out. And, hey, Swaby, maybe don't full-on swipe photos of famous people for your covers.
Wait, what is it?
That is 100%. The B cover for Titans. That is absolutely Beyonce as Starfire.
I didn't see the B cover.
100%.
Beyonce as Starfire.
We've got Ultimate Spider-Man number 2, second printings, and Ultimate X-Men number 1, second printings, because everybody loves it. Looks like we've got more of the retro spiral action figures, which is awesome. Those figures ruled. We got Vampirella 667.
Whoa.
My God, she's even more naked on this cover than the average Vampirella cover.
Interesting.
How did they manage that?
She'd have to be actually completely naked to be more naked.
Well, she's wearing maybe even smaller underpants, and the only thing covering her breasts is her hair. So there you go. And it's intentionally going like up like roots in a weird way. So, yeah, impressive. Hey, we got Vengeance is for the Living number 1.
It looks cool. This is cool. Floating World, and it's on cool paper, and it's there's a definite audience for this. This cool crime spree vengeance comic.
Yep, I think if you liked what was the one that wasn't Planet Terror, Death Proof.
Looks cool.
I don't even know what to call it. It's grindhouse.
Yeah.
Fun nonsense. It's great.
Yeah.
You know, if you
like
know,
non-fantasy violent.
Yeah, yeah.
If you know story.
If you know
Kill Bill.
Oh my God! Why I was gonna call him Keenan Ivory Keller. what the hell is his name? Keenan. The humans
Ivory
guy.
Wayans?
No.
Oh, you're like the humans is
the person who wrote it. Keenan Marshall Keller. That's what it is.
Oh, I don't know.
He's the person who wrote Humans.
Okay.
And
is
he
that
also,
Tom Neely wrote
Tom Neely.
Drew that?
He Tom Neely drew it, and yeah, Keenan Keller is the writer.
I do not know the writer.
And he wrote Vengeance is for the Living as well. He's very
nice.
Cool. I like him.
Cool.
Yeah. And he now, because he's friends with James Harrigan, now he likes our stuff on Instagram. And I was like, oh, cool.
Cool.
Excellent. Nice. Vengeance of Moon Knight,
cool
number
to see
three.
This book on the shelf. Vengeance of the Moon Knight, yeah. It's Moon Knight.
Walking Dead of the Moon Knight, number 85.
Yeah.
Web of Spider-Man of Moon Knight, number one.
All right. This comic should not cost $8. I am... sorry, Marvel.
What it is.
Like, it is a bunch of two-page snippets of different Spider-Man comics. So no complete stories, oh. Just like previews. It's literally a preview book. It yeah. should not. There's no... you already are publishing these comics somewhere else. Like, this should be $1. This should be $2 max.
They know like, why. They know why they're doing it. It's because there's probably like first appearances and all sorts of stuff in there.
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think so. But it's you were so asking confusing. What's up with Kane.
Oh.
He's in it.
Yay, I like Kane.
Which means there's a Kane comic coming out.
I mean, is it a Scarlet Spider
yeah.
comic? Oh, cool. I like Scarlet Spider. That
yeah.
I mean
Scarlet Spider is Ben
so
Reilly.
Fun. Well, no, I like that Scarlet Spider.
Kane
I like
is Kane. He's just Kane, man.
You see, I liked Kane as Scarlet Spider in that
yeah,
ongoing.
No, I know that
the
was
one where he
popular.
Had the pokey arms. And
I like him when he had his weird scarred face and like
yeah.
kind of mysterious traveler kind of vibes.
Yeah, he was just sort of like a brutal vigilante version of Spider-Man in
yeah.
that. I just liked that run.
The clone era.
No, the one that
oh,
was like
the
2016
one, yeah.
one
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, it was fine.
But
Web of Spider-Man is an $8 book that features like six little snippets of like comics that will come out.
Yep.
In so like if there's one that you were gonna buy,
just buy it.
I don't know. It's just not an $8 comic.
Fair. Wolverine by Benjamin Percy, number 7, is out. We've got Wolverine by Claremont and Buscema, number 1, a facsimile edition.
This is good, except for some reason it's on that shitty glossy paper, whereas the other facsimile from this week is not on that same paper.
I would suggest just buying one of the
yeah, I know. You can buy for
the
dollar.
Buy the one that we have in the bin for $40.
Oh.
Wolverine Madripoor
This
Knights.
Isn't a... I guess. I feel like I bought a dollar version of... like, I bought this comic for $1.
Oh, I'm sure there was one of those, like, dollar reprints. There
no, no. Be. I mean, I feel like I bought, like, the real one for $1.
Wow.
Maybe not.
I mean, maybe 10 years ago, like for a while, this
yeah,
was
like
a
pretty
very,
recently.
This was a very undervalued book for a long time.
Maybe it was just a different issue from the run. It was definitely a Buscema Wolverine that I bought for $1. And I thought it was the first one.
Yeah,
anyway.
First ongoing has been fluctuating between $40 and $100 for a while now.
Wow.
Let's see. Well, I mean, in decent grade, obviously. X-Men Forever. And never to part. X-Men Forever with you.
Eh.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't read it. But because
skimmed it.
Because I'm so far behind and I want to catch up. So there you go. I do kind of want to read it because I was reading Immortal. And this is the thing that answers all the dumb questions that happened at the end of Immortal. Because they never answered like 15 really big questions. And so I think this is literally the series that just goes through and is like, okay, you know this thing? This is what that's about. You know this thing? This is what this is about.
So it's like basically like a who's who in comic book form.
Yeah, it's like an apology for not finishing the series the way that they were supposed to. Is basically it. And that's all. That's all the comical
that's
books.
All.
We
I
did
was
it.
Having so much fun.
We managed to get through all the comical books in 1 hour.
That was a lot. It was a lot more than I expected.
Yeah. Too many. But there you go. So
it's like I plowed through them, but then it was like half of them was like, I didn't read this.
Yeah, yeah. No, I really basically what wound up happening is that I was like, I came back from Westbrook, and I'm like sitting down to do my stuff. And then this guy comes out, back and starts talking to me. Like, David sent him back, and he's like, "Oh, are you the skateboard guy?" And I was like, "Yeah, yeah, sure." And then he was just like, he was talking to me about his skateboard collection, and he collects Neil Blender decks. And I was like really excited about it. And then we just started talking about the Misfits, and he has this massive original Misfits poster collection. Ooh. Like stuff that should have been like, it's all hand screen printed by Danzig and Doyle.
Wow.
Like he has a bunch of those wall posters that the two of them made.
Wow.
It's in fucking sane. And so we just talked about that, and he showed me stuff from his collection, and he's Kenny Wayne Shepherd's fucking guitar tech.
Oh, nice.
Which was also funny because he's like this punk rock dude that's like loves punk rock and skateboarding, and he's touring with Kenny Wayne Shepherd. But he's
playing at the State Theater tonight, yeah, for context.
Yeah, that's why. But yeah, no, he was an awesome dude, and it was really fun to hang out and talk to him. So I wound up talking to this guy forever, and I didn't get as much red as I wanted.
It is actually one of like the secret kind of fun things about being a regular at Coast City is that its proximity to the State Theater is such that like anytime someone comes to the State Theater to play, they almost always come here because you can just zip down the street and go in, and of course it's the coolest thing on the block. So. Like I've seen and met, I mean, introductory wise, like the guitar player from Tool, who else? I mean, Sean Murphy's in here all the time. Like, that's a State Theater thing, but like,
it's just, it's funny because
people from GWAR.
Adam comes here like every time because the secret is that Adam comes to town a bunch of times because
they
master at Gateway.
Yeah.
And so
also down the street.
He always comes by here to buy stuff for his kid. And I wound up giving him a ride back to his hotel one day, and we just hung out. I have his phone number in my phone, and I've never texted him or anything, but pretty funny.
But it's just like, you never know like who it's going to be. That's like, you know, if there's a show at the State, like chances are if you come into Coast City, they're probably hanging out.
That's pretty cool.
It's kind of cool.
I do like that. I have missed that because, you know, during COVID that stopped, and it was I really noticed it. I was like, oh yeah. We don't get to hang out with all the State Theater people anymore.
You didn't get to hang out with anybody in here during COVID.
Well, but I mean, even on the tail end when everyone was still like, if we have one fucking infection, tour canceled.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like there's a lot of that. And so people were just like, I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
You know, and now it's more, there's more people actually showing up in the shop. So that's great.
Yeah. It was jacked today. Like I came in at 5 and it was like, holy crap, there's a fucking shit ton of people in here, which is good.
Also, David had a real hard time today.
I offered him for some help, but he said
no. There were some fucking nut jobs today. Somebody came in today. Nobody's going to be listening at this point, so I can share this wonderful anecdote with you. Someone came in and was like, hey, do you take donations? And David was like, yeah, well, we can take donations. You know, what have you got? And he was like, it's in this bag. And he was like, well, why don't you just take it out of the bag? And he was like, no, why don't you just reach in and grab it? He was like, no, I'd really prefer that you take it out for me. And he opened up the bag and there was a giant dildo in it. And David was just like, okay, that's great. So if you could just leave and never come back, that would be awesome. Okay. Smash cut to 1 hour later, completely different couple, drunk, high, for the Kenny Chesney concert. Comes in, whatever it is, Kenny Wayne, whoever, Shepherd. Who gives a fuck, comes in the door and shouts at the top of his lungs, hey, you guys got dildos here?
What?
And then David, I do not know, but then David is like, very professionally is like, no, you're going to want to go down to 666. That's the porn shop. He's like, I'm not going there. It's like, okay, so you're going to go into a place that could have children wandering around, scream about dildos at the top of your lungs, but you're unwilling to go into a sex shop. Go fuck yourself, you fucking wimp. Go away.
Nice. That is some true Congress Street shenanigan.
Some real Congress Streetin' going on out there.
Shenanigan again.
Anyway, well, thank you for listening.
Ever tell you about the time I applied for a job at the sex shop?
No.
And I had a job interview there, and they literally were like, well, we don't have any chairs. You can just sit on these boxes. And I was like, okay. And I did an entire job interview sitting on a carton of dildos.
Huh.
And they didn't hire me. That's the worst part of the story, is they didn't fucking hire me. I did a fucking half hour. Just, I aced the fucking interview too. Absolutely would have been a great employee for the video expo. And nope. And they made me just sit on a box of dildos. It's a good story, though.
They made me sit on a box of dildos. The Bob Ulrich story.
It's Ulrich.
I like Ulrich better.
I don't.
Oh, fine.
It's my name.
Ulrich.
Call me Bob.
Can I instead call you Elric?
You?
Bob Elric?
I mean, that's too elfy. No, you can't call me
Bob
that.
Is too elfy. Okay. Well,
no, not Bob. Elric.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It's like Moorcock.
Moorcock of Melnibone.
You can call me Bob Moorcock.
Bob Moorcock. Well, you can follow us at I'm Actually Comics. You can buy things from CoastCityComics.com, and you can follow Bob someplace.
At Dollar Binge. And if you are kicking around Friday, Thursday night, the 21st, this week, come to the Aphodian and see a great rock and roll show that is going to happen. And also on the 29th, you should go get surprised at Suntiki Studios.
Yes, it's a total surprise.
It's a totally different thing.
What could this bean surprise be? Who knows? Anyway, but on a completely unrelated note, thank you to Covered in Bees for the music for this episode, and we'll see you next week. Good night.